All right. John has a couple of announcements.
I just wanted to remind the church that our church election is this evening after our evening service. We will be having elections for board members and approval of some teachers and things like that for every position in our church. If you're here this morning and you are not a voting member of our church, it's easy to do. There's an application in the back of our bylaws out in the foyer. Just get a copy of the bylaws, read through them, make sure that you believe the same thing that we believe as a church, and if you do, fill out that application on the back page to become a voting member. Now, everyone is a member of Goldtown. Everyone sitting here can consider yourself a member of Goldtown Community Church. The only difference is for our voting purposes of our elections, we do have a voting membership. Pretty much the same as if you live in Kanawha County or Jackson County, you're a resident of Jackson or Kanawha County, but if you're not registered to vote, you cannot go vote in elections. That's the same thing that we have within our church. So if you're not a member, would like to be a member, see one of the pastors or board member, or just pick up a copy of the bylaws. But our church election will be this evening after evening service. Thank you. Board meeting today at 4 for those board members in here. Thank you.
All right. As our ushers come, we want to welcome all the visitors here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you here at Goldtown and invite you to come anytime. If you need a home church, we'd like for you to make this your home church. All right, we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. I'm going to ask Brian, would you pray for the offering this morning?
Amen. We've got a reduced choir this morning is what we have. We've reduced it down to a duet. We're going to worship the Lord as Todd and Austin come to sing. You listen to the words. They always do an excellent job, and they just help us worship the Lord this morning. So let's pray for them, and let's worship as they sing.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Morning. Who's that stranger up there? I'm nervous this morning. A lot of times I don't get nervous, but I don't think I'm nervous. I'm just anxious. We want to do a good job for the Lord, but we're singing. I'm singing two with him. He's going to sing one by himself, but it's all about heaven this morning. That's why we're all here. We have a hope, and more of a hope, but we have an assurance that if you know the Lord, you have a relationship with him. We know that it's appointed for all of us to die once. Just once. But when we close our eyes here, we're going to open them to Jesus in heaven. And the songs are slower, but they're not sad songs. You listen to the words. We've all have loved ones that's went on, good friends. Wouldn't bring them back if we could, because there was Jesus, and that's why we're all here this morning. So y'all just pray for us.
When I see the sunrise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing. I believe there's a place called heaven, and I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. That he gave his life for me. I was there the day my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I felt the power of 10,000 angels take her soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. I believe there's a place called heaven, and I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. He gave his life for me, and I believe that he gave his life for me.
Yeah.
Sure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? This next song, I think of Debbie Lewis. I think of Stan. I think of Mary. I think of every one of you who's lost. Well, you haven't lost someone. If they had a relationship with the Lord, they're not lost, but they went on. They went home. And that's what this next song's about. Ain't you glad for that assurance this morning?
Such thing as time, where the streets are paved with gold and you never grow old on the other side. On the other side, everybody sings. There's miles and miles of flowers and lots of pretty things, where the sky's a perfect blue and everything looks new on the other side. Well, I've never been to heaven. I didn't know what it was like, but God let me have a glimpse in my dream. And I could see you smiling. You were looking right at me. And for the first time in a long time, on your face I saw some peace. And I knew everything was gonna be alright on the other side. On the other side, do you ever see me cry? Do you know how much I miss you? Wish I could have said goodbye. Just one more, I love you. Oh, am I really getting through on the other side? Well, I've never been to heaven. I didn't know what it was like, but God let me have a glimpse in my dream last night. And I could hear you laughing. You were looking right at me. And for the first time in a long time, on your face I saw some peace. And I knew everything was gonna be alright. No more tears and no more sad goodbyes on the other side. On the other side. side. I'll see you on the other side.
See you there. What do you mean? This next one Austin's going to do by himself. I could sing it with him, but. Bless you. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Stan.
But I saw that. You see, he spoke to me within a week after Kelly's passing to let me know. Because she's not feeling any pain
right.
That the joy that she's experiencing right now is something that I get to see later on. But on the day, it gave peace in my heart.
Right. Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Stan. Love you too, brother. Bless you. Amen. This next one he's going to do. 316 does it. But personally, I listen to it in the car.
Glory!
I do this every time.
That's all right.
Because it touches me. This is
yeah.
But anyway, y'all have heard it, but it has this song has a meaning.
Sure.
You listen to the words,
sure.
It'll touch your heart.
Sure.
That's all I got to say.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise. Before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow.
Absolutely great messages in those songs, and on top of all that, man, that was flawless. That sounded, it just sounded good too. It sounded good. I just I thank the Lord for how He uses folks. Man, you all sounded good. Y'all need to do an album or whatever they call that now. I don't a CD or something, but that, that was good. That was good, but I really felt the Lord's presence most of all, and that's what I'm thankful for. A lot of people can get up and sing and don't mean anything, but the Lord blessed through that, and I appreciate that. I really do. All right. We're ready for the Word. I'm going to ask Pastor Jimmy to come, and Pastor Rob, would you just step over there, and I was going to have Jimmy to stop, and Jimmy, you step back there. You step over and put your hand upon him and ask God's blessing upon him.
Lord, give him the words to say that we
Amen.
Need to hear
right.
in our life what we're going
yes,
through
Lord,
right
send
now.
The Holy
so we can
Spirit
be
in a mighty way.
For you, God,
to
and
feel
take
your
you
presence,
out to
God.
The world, God. Jesus. Just anoint and bless Jimmy right now. It's
Amen.
In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd just like to join Ron and saying how good those songs were, and we're just proud to have you guys in our church singing like that and just being with us and everything that you do for us. And it is amazing how good songs can sound when God has given you that talent when you believe in the words and all of those things come together. It's a special thing. God designed us that way, that we would feel His presence, that we would feel His Spirit, and that we would be able to get glimpses, small glimpses of what we have in store for us in heaven. We can't, our bodies, our current bodies, our current minds, we can't behold the awesomeness of God. And every now and then you'll hear of people who have passed away and come back, and they have those awesome stories of what they saw and what they heard. And I believe that that happens. I believe that people do get glimpses of heaven, and that a lot of times they return to tell us about it and how great it is. And I think God gives us all that every now and then, those reminders of what it's going to be like. And probably the closest I've come, to getting one of those glimpses is, and you guys can relate to this, it's through a dream. You know those dreams when you see somebody that you've missed for a while? Those are pretty special. And then God allows you to remember that. A lot of times you forget your dreams. But it's a sweet thing when you get those dreams of those loved ones and you're with them. And it's just real. It's real. It's a real feeling. And you're not in your dream saying, in your dream you know that you're right there with them. You're not aware that they have gone on. You're not aware that there's a separation. Because in that dream, all that separation is gone. And they're just there. And you're so happy to see them. Praise God for that. I think He lets us know. He gives us what we need. He gives us His Spirit. His Spirit allows us to see things, to feel things, so that we know that it's real and that we have something to look forward to, because we can't see heaven. There's a great gulf fixed right now that we can't see over there. But God, through His Spirit, communes with us and lets us know deep down, not just a head knowledge, not just a acknowledgement of something greater, not just a hope that we have. The world looks at us and they see us in that kind of way. They think that it's wishful thinking. They think that it's a fairy tale. They think a lot of times that the things that we hope for are just in our minds. But those of us who felt the Spirit, those of us who have invited Christ into our life, those of us who commune with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, we know deep down that these things are there. We know that they are for us. We know that they were made for us. We know that this place called heaven is as real as anything that we've ever experienced down here. We know that we have that to look forward to. There's a lot of things that we have to look forward to. A couple weeks ago, Todd caught me out right outside there and let me know that they were going to be singing about heaven. And that was a great thing for him to let me know, because then I could concentrate and kind of focus on heaven myself in this message, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk some more about heaven. We've heard about it. We've listened to the songs. I want to turn, we won't turn there yet. Well, go ahead and turn to John 14. We'll go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. When I talk about heaven this morning, I'm not talking about heaven in a generic sense. You know, there is kind of this generic heaven that a lot of people refer to, a lot of people, you know, who don't know the Lord. You'll see it when somebody famous passes away, or somebody, you know, somebody that's well known, or you'll hear people say things like this, like, well, I know they're somewhere looking down, or I know that that he's somewhere, or she's somewhere, and all this. But the heaven I'm talking about this morning is the one that God talks about, the one that's in the Bible, the one that Jesus said that the only way to that heaven is through me. That's the heaven that we're talking about is the real heaven. The other, the heaven that people like to just kind of, imagine that there's all kinds of ways to, and that there's, you know, just this place that we cease being here and we just go. We're not talking about that heaven this morning. We're talking about the heaven of the Bible. And there's a very big difference because, we'll see about that. But the heaven is mentioned 691 times in the Bible. That itself is reassuring that God, sees fit in His holy word to let us know that 691 times of our heavenly home, of that place that we have to look forward to. It is in, I think I counted this right, 54 books of the Bible. So almost all of the books of the Bible mention heaven, Old and New Testament. Heaven is a whole other world that's away somewhere, and it's always referred to as being up. You know, you heard in the song, "I will rise." And we talked about rising to heaven. We talked about being caught up to heaven. Heaven is always referred to as being up somewhere. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, opens up with saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." God is it's His dwelling place. It's heaven. But it's also can be our dwelling place. John 14, verse 1, it says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And I like this part. "If it were not so, I would have told you." That's just a little reassurance for me. I don't know. I like how he says that. He says these things and he says, "Listen, guys, if this wasn't true, I wouldn't be wasting my breath right now and telling you about it." That's how I read that. And every now and then I need that reassurance from God. But he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we know that he says that God dwells, or that our Father who is art in heaven, but he also says that we can be there also, that where he is, we can be also. So it's the dwelling place of God, but it's also the dwelling place for believers. Heaven, as we know, is eternal. 23rd Psalm, he says, David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We know these things to be true. A lot of this is what I'm talking about this morning. It's not going to be revelatory. It's not going to be something that I'm telling you for the first time. It's something you know about heaven. Things that you know that you've been taught your whole life, and things that you know. I'm not going to say anything because I don't have any extra knowledge of heaven other than what's in this Bible. I don't have any, you know, I haven't seen it, I haven't witnessed it, I haven't been there. But I can go by His Word. But we do need to be reminded every now and then about the goodness of heaven. We do need to know. It can be a soothing, like an ointment to our aches sometimes, to read about heaven, to immerse ourselves in heaven, to listen to songs about heaven, to listen, to read scriptures about heaven, to hear the accounts of things that were seen by John and things that were seen by men, from the Bible, things that were said by Jesus Christ Himself. Those things we need to be reminded of. So this morning, not going to tell you anything new about heaven that I've been given or anything like that, but we're going to be reminded of the place that we love so dear, that we haven't been, but we love it. You know, some call it heaven. Steve sings that. Some call it heaven. I call it home. How can you be home in a place that you've never been to? How can you be home in a place that you've never been to? What do some of the movies and some of the things say? Home is where your what is? Your heart. Well, if your heart is fixed on heaven, then that means that heaven can be your home. It's a place that you can look forward to. It's not It's not home in a sense that you've been there already, but it's home in a sense that it's where your heart can be content, where your desires are. You know, we often set our desires on things of this earth. We desire to go, and then we set a goal and we go after it. And we get those things, and a lot of times they're disappointments. A lot of times they end up, you get it, and you're like, well, okay, that was good, but that's not it. And so we can set our heart on heaven and know that when we get there, it's not a disappointment. You know, the fairy tales, a lot of the fairy tales end with, and they lived happily ever after. And but we know, those that believe in heaven, those that believe in this place that was mentioned 691 times in the Bible and 54 books of the Bible, we know that we do have a place where we can be happily, where we can live happily ever after. That can be a reality, and that is a reality that we look forward to. How can heaven be your home? How about memories of your own home that you can have and be reminded of, and just know that a place like that is going to be what heaven's going to be like? How many of you remember being a kid? What is it about being a kid that's so great? How about the carefree attitude of being a kid? How about knowing that you didn't have an agenda, you didn't have a list of things that you had to accomplish by that week, or a list of things that had to be done, or everything would kind of fall apart? As a kid, you're pretty much sheltered from that. As a kid, you can go out and you know, you've got this time, you just know that you got to be back by this time, or you're going to go to a place later that you don't even have to worry about driving there or anything. You just go out and play, and you just go out and live your life. And you don't have to worry about what you're going to do to provide the next meal, because you've got parents that are there to provide that. They're looking out for you. All you've got to do is just kind of follow orders and just go along and have this carefree life. The carefree life of being a child at home is pretty nice, because you just, everything's provided for you. And so in that sense, we can look forward to heaven as our home, because everything is going to be provided for us. We can have a carefree life in heaven, because you see, when sin entered into this world, that's when work began to, you know, when Adam took a bite, and when he and Eve took a bite from that fruit, that's when sin entered in, and that's when God began to say, you're going to have to work the ground for your food. You're going to have to toil for what you're going to eat. You're going to have to go out, and you're going to have to go and get it. No longer are you going to have access to all of the food and everything that you need right here in the garden, but you're going to be cut off, and then you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to provide that. So we as adults, we know what that's like to face the stress of providing, to face the stress of going out and worrying about where things are going to come from, worrying about, you know, just the stress of everyday life. Well, as a child, you don't worry about that. And so we can look forward to heaven as being a place where all of our needs are provided. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but we know that heaven is a kingdom. Jesus referred to it many times as the kingdom of heaven, with God as the king. And it says there are treasures in heaven. Now, a lot of people can debate on what kind of treasures. I've heard people debate about that, what kind of treasures there are, and whether or not we'll even, you know, need, we won't even have that need for those treasures. But Jesus did say there are treasures there in heaven. In Matthew 6:20, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. What I get from that verse is what I was talking about earlier, a carefree life. Because he says the moth can't get through and destroy. We don't really think about that today, because we have modern, you know, we have modern homes and modern things. But back, you know, a long time ago, moths would get in and they would destroy clothing. And, you know, I guess that's the reason why they have mothballs. Is that right? To keep the moths out. But they would destroy the clothing. And I can imagine that back in their day, they had a big problem with this. But you don't have to worry about things getting in and destroying. You don't have to worry about what it says that rust doth corrupt. You know, you leave something alone here. You leave it out in the weather. it's not going to be it's not going to be good for very long, because nature takes over. Nature is so harsh and so hard on things that it can corrupt things. It can destroy things. Over time, everything gets destroyed here in this world. Over time, everything is going to fall apart and break. Things that run right now will not run a long time from now. Things that are in good working condition at this time, things that are brand new, out of the package. Think of things that you get, and it's wrapped up in that plastic and all that stuff. You get that, it's brand new, it's shiny. But over time, what happens? Everything breaks down. And that's what this world is like. Everything breaks down in this world. You can't keep anything pristine. You can't keep it very long, because you have age, you have weather, you have all of these conditions, the atmosphere, all of these things that break things down. But Jesus said that up there, nothing is corrupted. There is no rust. There is no breaking down of things. Whatever something looks like right now, in a million years from now, it's going to look the same. There's no harsh environment. There's no climate that's going to take over, weathering and things like that. You don't have to worry about fixing up your house all the time or you know, maintaining all of those things to make it, or replacing things. How many things have you replaced in your life? Whew. Think about your own home. How many things have you replaced in your home? How many cars have you replaced? How many of you that are over 60 still have the same car that you had back when you were 16 and you first started to drive? Anybody? What do you have to do? You have to restore it. And in order to restore it, what do you have to have? A lot of money and a lot of parts. And so all of these things are things that we struggle with down here, because things break down. Now, since we're talking about things breaking down, let's talk about our bodies. Anybody's body failing them? Anybody's body breaking down? Anybody had to replace parts in their body? Yes, it happens. It happens. That is the nature of things here. That is the nature of things here. But not so there. Not so. Not so there. We don't have to worry about the aging process or things breaking down. I'm 33 years old and I'm walking around with gout right now as we speak. My toe, it hurts. And this week we've been moving. Guess how many times I've hit my toe on things as we've been moving. I got a big U-Haul, and inside of those things there's a fender well or fender thing that sticks up, but it's the same color as the floor. I must have kicked that thing 3 or 4 times, and that hurt. I had the U-Haul parked on a hill, and I opened the door, and it's a heavy door. And I left my foot right there, and the door automatically closed on my foot. And it hurt. What am I talking about? I'm talking about our bodies fail us. Our bodies get attacked. Our bodies get attacked by disease, by things that invade and take over. Do you realize that we are constantly, we say that we're living, but really we're constantly surviving? I mean, everything that we do is a struggle against this world. We are surviving against disease. We're surviving against other people. We're surviving against animals. We're surviving against the weather. We're surviving against the floodwaters that come up. We're surviving against the wind. We're surviving against hurricanes. All of these things in this world that we struggle. We're just struggling to stay alive. In heaven, there is no struggle to stay alive. There is no maintenance to be had to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to keep our bodies. There is no maintenance, because there is no threat to our bodies as we go. It says the streets are made of gold, the gates are of pearl, and the walls of jasper. But none of that will matter, because what makes gold so precious down here? What makes gold so precious is that it's rare. It's a rare metal. And it's precious because it's rare. And also, gold can get you things. Gold can put food on your table. Gold can, you know, our money, Our currency is backed up by what? Gold. And so gold down here is valuable because we need gold. We need these things to survive. But up there it says that the streets are made of gold. And so how valuable will it be to us at that time? Not very valuable because it's plentiful. And because we don't need it, there's no need to take it and try to break a chunk of that off, because you don't need it to go buy bread. You don't need it to go feed your family. You don't need it to build a house, because all of these things are provided for us. And so the streets of gold, they just become just magnificent streets that we can walk on, that we can, you know, just commute around. How many of you like to take walks? We can take walks. We can do all these things up there because it's going to be provided for us. Isaiah 11:6, there is no violence in heaven. You don't have to worry about locking your doors. Don't have to worry about, you know, where you go or what areas to go into. Don't have to worry about someone seeking vengeance or someone coming after you or someone, you know, trying to get what you have, because there is no violence in this place that we call heaven. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I live pretty safe. And we do. We live a safe life. But we're taking steps every day to make sure that we're protected. We have police officers that we count on and that we call for protection. We have all of these things that we lock up. We lock our buildings, lock our house, lock our door. All of these things. Think about not having to do that anymore. Carefree as a child is carefree. What do we have to tell our kids? Not to talk to strangers. We have to teach them because they're carefree and because they you know, they're just innocent and they're there. Well, in heaven, we can be that way and we can know that there won't be any strangers or anything like that. But Isaiah 11:6 says, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together." And so there's no circle of life, no violence that will be had in that place. Next, it says that there is no sorrow, no crying, and no more death. I want to read this shortly. This is Revelation 21, one of my favorite verses. If you ever want to look into what heaven is like, read this. Starting with verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And I like this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Remember, if it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He makes all things new. Now, I've spent a lot of time describing what heaven will be like. The who, what, where, when things of heaven. How we're going to feel. We're going to feel like children who are carefree. Who's going to be there? We know that God is going to be there. And our loved ones who believed before, because he said, "I will dwell with them and they shall be my people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." We know it's like a kingdom. We know that it's eternal. We know all these things. Those are kind of the who, what, where, when part of the Bible. But I want to get now to the why and the how, because that's important. That's important. Heaven is all-inclusive. Isn't that great? That heaven is all-inclusive. That great word that we read over and over in the Bible. What is that word that he gives us? in John 3:16 and those other ones. What is that great all-inclusive word that we know that he's talking about everybody? How about this? Yeah, I've heard it. Whosoever. Whosoever. Can you get any more inclusive than whosoever? Basically saying whoever. Whoever will. Anybody who can hear my voice and read my words, and anybody who can do this, and anybody who is alive is included in whosoever. It doesn't matter who you know, or it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter, you know, we set all these restrictions here on earth. You know, you got to be a certain age. You got to be a certain height. How many of you, when you went to amusement parks when you were a kid, you know, you had to be a certain height to get in? All of these things that are exclusive here in this world, heaven is all inclusive. Because it says, whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. However, I say that it's all inclusive. And we talk about whosoever. After all, remember the thief on the cross. He was a whosoever. He confessed before the Lord and said, you know, this man has done nothing wrong, but we have. And what did Jesus say to him? Surely this day you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross. He wasn't able to get down off that cross and start going to church on Sunday mornings. He wasn't able to get down off that cross and start a charity and go forth and do all those things. But because he was a whosoever, and because he confessed with his mouth and believed with his heart, then he was included in God's kingdom. It's all inclusive, but only for a limited time. Think about, you hear those commercials on TV, for a limited time only. For a limited time only. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, judgment. So it is inclusive for a time. While you are yet breathing, everything is inclusive. Heaven is there for you while you're here. But it's only for a limited time. We have to make that choice before we pass. Or we have to make that choice before he decides to come back. But then it becomes exclusive. We read earlier how it said that the thief cannot come in to take. We read about Lazarus and how he was a poor beggar. And when he passed away, he went up to be in heaven. And the rich man that had denied him even a drink of water, even a drop of water, said in hell he raised up his eyes and looked. But what did Abraham say? You cannot pass this way because there is a great gulf fixed. There is a great chasm. There is a separation. So heaven is inclusive for those that are living and those that decide to follow Christ. But after that, it becomes exclusive because nothing can come in but through Jesus Christ. There is not going to be any threats that come in. Nobody is going to come in under false pretenses. Nobody's going to come in like a thief in the night to come in to that great place. Only those who have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their life. Heaven is not free. How many of us think that heaven is a free place that we go to? It's kind of tricky, but heaven is not free. It was made free for us, but it's not free. How much does heaven cost? What is the most you can pay? A life. A life. We'll say, how much, what do I have to do? How much do I have to earn? How much do I have to give of myself to go to heaven? There is nothing you can give to go to heaven. There is no cost that you can bear yourself. It was so costly that we couldn't even get there ourselves. Heaven was so costly. How much did it cost? It cost Jesus his life. It is not free. God didn't decide one day and say, you know what? I'm going to forget everything. I'm going to forget all the sins, and I'm going to open it up to everybody. He didn't just say, I'm going to just forget about all the sins and the unrighteousness and say heaven is for you. He said you can get there, but it's going to cost something. It's going to cost my son. It's going to cost my son's life. And so heaven is very expensive. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's how expensive heaven is. It costs a life. So heaven is not free, but it is paid for. It is already paid for. And what I'm thinking of is, you can think of like a restaurant. A restaurant where, an exclusive kind of restaurant where you have to make a reservation. But anybody can make a reservation. And you say, well, what if you can't afford it? What if you can't afford to make that reservation? What if you can't afford to get there? But he said, whosoever will come in to this restaurant and say, well, I don't have enough money. And you get there and you say, I've made my reservation, but I don't have any money to pay. And they say, come in. It's already been paid for. Come and eat. Come and dine. It's been paid for. Who paid it? Jesus Christ paid the price for us to have eternal life. I said that heaven was expensive because it says, for the wages of sin is death. But it's paid for because it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So these are a little bit of the things that we learn about heaven. It's unimaginable. We can't imagine the things that are there that wait for us. We can't pay our way to get there. This is one thing I talked about one time in a message. There are no excuses that will work to get into heaven. No excuses. You can almost get by with anything here in this world with a good excuse. You can almost, how many of you have got out of trouble with a good excuse? I know it's hard to do sometimes, but a lot of times we can squeeze our way out of what seem like impossible situations by a good excuse. There is no excuse that will get you into the kingdom of heaven. There is no excuse. Well, my grandfather was a great preacher, and he saved many people. And he is known throughout the world as a great Christian. And I'm his grandson, and he loved me. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Well, I read the Bible a lot. I knew everything there was to know. I could answer every question there is about the Bible and what it says. But do you know him? That excuse doesn't work. I paid a lot of the money that I made in my life. I paid through a Christian charity to feed people, to clothe people. But that's not going to work. You have to believe in your heart. And you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Christ, that He is the Son of God. And so heaven is there. It's there for us. It's there. It's a wonderful place. It's a carefree place. It's a place where nothing is corrupted, where nothing breaks down, and we can live forever. It's a place of great rejoicing. I like the part in Austin's song where it talked about the voice of 10,000 angels singing. You know, you can just imagine being with thousands and millions of people who are all in the same, or, you know, we're in the same boat that you were in, who are all saved the same way that you were saved, who all believe the same thing that you believe. And then your Savior appears right there, and you're all on the same page. And all you want to do is just glorify Him and praise Him for what He's done. That's what heaven is going to be like. But you must make Jesus, you must make Him your Lord and Savior. As we get a song of invitation, or as we get a song for the invitation, it really is an invitation to you. We are inviting you to heaven. We are inviting you to make heaven your home. We are inviting you today, before time runs out, to make a reservation with your name to be put into the Lamb's Book of Life. A reservation so that you can have life and have it more abundant, so that you can have all of these things that the Bible tells us about heaven. Right now is an invitation. We are inviting you to have that. You say, well, we're still here on earth. But this is where you make your decision. In the valley of decision. In the valley of decision. You say, well, I'm pretty bad. I've done a lot of things. I just told you, you can't pay for it anyway. Even if you were good. Because there is none that are good. There is none that is righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, so forget about that. I'm not inviting you to pay for heaven. You can't do it. I'm not inviting you to... I'm not inviting you just to live a wholesome life and do that type of thing. Once He changes your heart, you'll want to do those things. But what I'm inviting you this morning is to make heaven your home forever. And you say, who's going to pay for it? It's already been paid for. Jesus Christ came to the cross and He not only died, but He lived a perfect life. He endured temptation. He endured people smacking Him around. He endured people mocking Him for the things that He said.
Yeah.
He endured the very people that He was trying to save. You ever try to help somebody and they just resist it? It's frustrating. You ever try to help an animal and it runs away scared? Or even worse, it tries to bite you, but you're just trying to help. The Bible says that Jesus came among men and He was rejected of men. And they made fun of Him and they kicked Him and they pulled His beard. They even put a mocking crown of thorns on His head. And they whipped Him. And they killed Him because they believed that He was a threat to their meager existence here in this world. He threatened their life down here. But He was looking beyond down here. And He was preparing a place that we could go and live forever with Him. So that where He is, we may be there also. That's the invitation this morning. I'm not asking you to come and pay for heaven because you can't.
Right.
I'm asking you to come and receive the gift that has been laid out for you with blood and with pain and with sorrow and with tears and all of these things, with stress, all of these things. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ. So your invitation this morning is just to come and accept the gift of eternal life. What could be better? You say, well, fairy tales, they aren't real. I agree, fairy tales aren't real. But heaven ain't no fairy tale. And it's real. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need this morning, you come to the altar.
So we'll stand on page 111.
There's life for
and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell.
Jimmy, you talked last week, you preached about getting saved. Yeah, it's because we want to see people saved. We want people to have the life that we have. We want people to have the heaven that we have to look forward to. Yeah. That's why we preach salvation a lot. I know we need other lessons sometimes, but, you know, when Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's no answer for that. You can't gain. There's nothing that you can gain that's worth the soul. So that's why we preach. That's why we appeal to you. That's why we give you scripture. That's why we prepare. That's why we do what we do, because we want heaven to grow larger. And we want more people to come in. Jesus talked about leaving the 99 for the one. Because they're saved. They're okay. Let's go after the one that's really lost. So that's why we do what we do. And even if nobody comes to the altar, even if it's empty and you say, well, nobody came. But with his word, it says that everything is planted. That the seeds are planted that need to be planted. We need to be encouraged a lot. And that, you know, these are all things that we keep and they grow in our hearts. So we'll hold on to the scriptures that he gave us. As I said this morning, nothing groundbreaking in revelations about heaven, but some good reminders that, hey, we got a whole new life. We got a whole new life coming to us. And as the song said, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. What that means is the things that you once cared everything for will not matter as much anymore because you see for what they are. Amen. One of my favorite parts of the song that Chris sings, The Anchor Holds. Yep. I've had visions and I've had dreams and I've even held them in my hands. But I never knew they could slip right through just like they were only grains of sand. Yep. That's what this world is in a nutshell. Things that we can grasp for a short time. And then they just fall apart. But the thing that God has prepared for us is something that lasts forever and ever and ever. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's given us a great thing, hasn't he?
Yeah. Bless you. What a powerful message. Enlightening you. And at the end of 22nd chapter of Revelation, almost at the very end of it, this is what he said. And you use the word. Whosoever will. Let him come. That included every one of us. And take of the water of life freely. When I was in the military, and I met up with some West Virginians, and I said, where do you live? He said, almost heaven. Well, I don't know if we can compare West Virginia to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. You may live here, and they might consider it almost heaven, but you don't have to live in almost. You can live in heaven.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. Right. You can record your name. He can record it. in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's encouraging to me when we're hearing so much doom and gloom and sadness that there is a place.
Yes.
There is a place. I had a funeral this week past one of my neighbors. And he had a lot of accolades, you know. Good gracious, I think one of the governors signed something about him, you know. But the main thing was, in the nursing home, I went to see him to his house, nursing home. But in the nursing home, he made his calling and election sure.
Amen. Amen.
All the other things, all the trophies, had to be left behind.
Amen. Bless you.
But it's so good to have your name recorded.
Amen.
And I'm glad he put that, Jimmy, whosoever will.
Amen.
That included me and nobody. I praise the Lord. Thank you, Jimmy.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen.
If nothing else, I'd Phil Samples, would you dismiss this word of prayer?